Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read today verses 15 and 16. We're approaching the end of this letter to the Hebrews. We're in the section that's dealing with various exhortations that all revolve around the idea of living a godly Christian life, that these exhortations are designed to help us focus our thoughts on Christ, to focus our hearts on serving Him. And so we find here in verses 15 and 16 how we are to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Amen. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. As we've gone through this letter to the Hebrews, one thing has become evident, and that is that all of the Old Testament sacrifices, all of them, individually and all collectively together, could not save anyone, could not forgive sins. They all pointed forward to the one true sacrifice that does forgive sins, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. We saw, as we looked at that this sacrifice of Christ was offered once for all, that there was no need to repeat it because it is perfect. It accomplished every single thing that God desired for it to accomplish. And so there was no need for a repetition of the sacrifice of Jesus. And anyone who would attempt to do so is sinning against God. It would be blasphemy to say that what Christ did needs to be added to, that what Christ did was insufficient, that what Christ did only started this, but now you and I have to add to it to somehow make it better or to make it perfect. No, that's not true. It is absolutely perfect already. And what you and I are called upon to do in Scripture, and we've seen in Hebrews, is simply to believe that Christ has accomplished it all for our salvation. Now, because there's such an emphasis on the fact that the sacrifice of Jesus is better than all of these Old Testament sacrifices, it may sound a bit shocking to read here that you and I are to offer a sacrifice. But as we read about the type of sacrifice, we understand that it's not an animal sacrifice at all. That's not what we're to offer. We're not to offer sacrifices of animals anymore. But we are to sacrifice what? We're to sacrifice ourselves. It is a sacrifice that consists in offering praise to God continually and offering service to men. That's our sacrifice, as it's described here toward the end of this letter of Hebrews. And so we begin by talking about sacrificial living toward God. We are to praise God. Verse 15 says, through Him, through Jesus, we are to continually, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, and then he's going to define and describe what this sacrifice is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Through Jesus. We're just told in the last few words that we saw last time that you and I are to go to Jesus outside the camp. We're to go to where He is. We're to go to where He has offered His sacrifice. We're to go to where He may be found. And though He has offered the only sacrifice that is effective, you and I are commanded to offer up a type of sacrifice to God through Christ. It's only through what He has done that we can offer ourselves to God. Now, wasn't it only priests who were able to offer sacrifices in the Old Testament? Yes. But guess what, Christian? You are a priest to God. Remember 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You yourselves, talking to Christians, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so over and over again in the New Testament, Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 12. And Peter says this, and here the writer to the Hebrews says this, that you and I as Christians are priests, and we are to offer a spiritual sacrifice, and that sacrifice consists of giving ourselves to God in a certain way. Christ is the only one through whom you may offer yourself as a sacrifice to God. You come to God only because of His completed work. That's the only way that you can. But the sacrifice that you offer is not a physical sacrifice of some animal somewhere. It is a spiritual sacrifice of praise. And notice that he says to do this continually. The words that are used here are an idiom that literally mean through all. And what it means is always, constantly, continually, without ceasing, not just at regular intervals. It's not talking about offer a sacrifice of praise when you come to church on Sunday morning. Yes, you do that, but that's not all that it's saying. It's not talking about only offering a sacrifice of praise at certain times during the year. Remember those Old Testament sacrifices. There were certain festivals and feasts that were ordained, and they were held every so often, and people were told to come up to Jerusalem and to offer these sacrifices at certain times each year. That's not what he's saying here. You and I are to offer a sacrifice of praise all the time, continually, without ceasing. Paul says something similar when he writes to Timothy and tells Timothy to preach the Word of God in season and out of season. He says this, "Preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort and with complete patience and teaching." Now, when Paul says to Timothy, preach in season and out of season, and when the writer to the Hebrews says, offer a sacrifice of praise continually, what are they getting at? What they're getting at is this. Think about baseball. You could pick baseball, football, basketball. Let's think about baseball. There's baseball season's going on right now. Baseball season's going to end with the World Series. And then it's going to be the off season, right? That's what we call it. And during the off season, the guys that are on these teams sometimes get out of shape. Sometimes engage in things they shouldn't engage in. They put on weight. They don't practice. And then it's time for baseball season again. And guess what happens? There's training camp. And they have to go to training camp, and they have to sometimes run a lot to lose weight. They have to do some strength training. They have to get back into shape. So there's a season, and there's an off season. It's in season and out of season. And Paul says, when you're a preacher of the gospel, you should never have an off season. When you're a preacher of the gospel, there should never be a time when you're not in training. When you're a preacher of the gospel, there should never be a time when you would say, well, I would preach to you right now, but you know, it's not the season. You'll have to come back next year. We're going to start our preaching season later on in the fall or in the spring. No. Paul says to Timothy, preach all the time. The same thing's being said here about offering sacrifices of praise all the time. There's never an off season for praise. There's never a time when you and I could say, I'm sorry, but I just really can't praise God right now because it's not the season to praise God. Now, we go through what we would often call seasons of sorrow, right? There are times when it seems like we are really and truly deeply distressed over some sin in our life or over some circumstance that's happened or over some problem that we're facing. Some trial or some temptation, and it can produce deep sorrow in our lives. And there is a season of sorrow, and what is being said here is, in spite of all of that, in the midst of all of that, continually sacrifice yourself by offering praise to God. No matter how bad you feel, praise God. There's not an off season for praise. The sacrifice is to be offered continually, a sacrifice of praise. In Leviticus chapter 7, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's called the Septuagint, this term of sacrifice is used for a kind of peace offering that is offered in thanksgiving to God. Now, in the Old Testament, it was an animal sacrifice. Now, it's a different kind of sacrifice for you and me as Christians. What kind of sacrifice is it? It's the kind of sacrifice that God describes and declares in Psalm 50, verse 23. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. The one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. And so, God is declaring to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of praise to God, thanksgiving to God for His grace that is given to us in Jesus. That's the type of sacrifice that you and I are to give all the time. That's what God desires. It's an acknowledgement of His love and His grace and His power to save us. And then he goes on and says, that is the fruit of your lips. Well, he's quoting Hosea, chapter 14, verse 2. Take with you words and return to the Lord and say to him, take away all iniquity except what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Or, once again, in the Septuagint translation of this verse, the fruit of our lips. We will pay with bulls the fruit of our lips. Now, what are the fruit of your lips? The fruit of your lips are what you say. It's the words you speak. That's what he's talking about. Now, the fruit of your lips can either be praise to God, which is what he wants here, or it can be words that are spoken in rebellion against God. But here, it is words that acknowledge him and his holy name. That's what he desires. The fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Acknowledging the name of God means to openly express your allegiance to Him, to openly express your commitment to Him, to openly express your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the praise of God involves your testimony before men about His grace given to you in saving you through Jesus. That's what he's talking about. The acknowledgement of His name is testifying about God before men and praising God's name for your salvation. You openly confess God. You openly confess to God your sin, of course, and you openly confess before men your salvation through the perfect work of Jesus that pays for your sin. You don't seek to hide your faith, in other words, but you're bold to profess your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ who has redeemed you. This bold profession will show itself in your life daily. It will show itself in sacrificial living toward men. Notice verse 16 starts out by saying, do not neglect to do good. You do good to men. Doing good is not a way to earn salvation from the Lord. That's not what he's talking about. Rather, it's a response of a heart that already has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang Psalm 37 this morning. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Notice that it is trust in the Lord that comes first, and then the result of trusting in Him is doing good. Doing good follows trusting the Lord. In fact, everything in this passage that we're reading here from Hebrews can be summarized in those words from Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's what this is all about. Trust in the Lord first, and as a result of having trusted in the Lord through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, then do good. You're commanded not to neglect doing good to others. Now, deciding what's good isn't up to you and me. God tells us in His Word what's good. And He describes several places what doing good means. Jesus uses the illustration of the sheep and the goats to describe to us what doing good entails. Listen to Matthew 25. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. You did it to me. And so Jesus describes what doing good means. It's feeding the hungry and providing drink for the thirsty. It's showing hospitality to strangers. We saw that at the beginning of chapter 13. He tells us to do that. It's clothing the naked. It's visiting those who are sick and in prison. He's told us that already also earlier in chapter 13. It's all these things that Jesus talks about. James describes it when he tells us what is pure and undefiled religion. He says in James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And so, godly Christianity, true Christianity, involves service to others and devotion to God. That's what it's involving. Doing good, then, the main thing about doing good is it focuses on others. It doesn't focus on yourself. That's the point. Doing good focuses on others, not upon yourself. You share with men, and to share what you have, it says. Sharing your blessings that you have received from God with others. You see, you and I are sinners, and sinners are selfish at heart, which means that basically we want what we want when we want it, and we don't care about other folks. That's what sinful selfishness is like. I want this, and I don't care what it takes to get it sometimes. That's the way sinful selfishness works in a person's heart. And so God deals with that. God gives us instructions on how to deal with our sinful selfishness. Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, says, if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be like sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. That's a remarkable statement, isn't it? He's basically saying sinful men are willing to lend to sinful men expecting to be repaid. That's not a problem. People expect that, and so they go out and do that. And in order to be like God, Jesus says what you need to do is you need to lend to others that you don't expect can repay you. You need to not worry about being repaid in this life. You need to be like your Heavenly Father, because God, unbelievably, is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been saved, and you wouldn't have been saved. God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil, or we would never have received that salvation at all. And so, it counters the idea of getting something back for your generosity. You share with those who are in need, not expecting any earthly reward for it at all. If you do get an earthly reward, then it's an added blessing. But the heavenly reward is what you are focused on. You're seeking to honor and glorify God, because you see, in reality, you're giving to the Lord when you share what you have with others. It's focused on Him. And God will reward that generosity in His time and in His way. The final thing that's said in this passage is, verse 16, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. These two verses, verses 15 and 16, not only repeat what's said in Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, but they also repeat the first and second great commandments that Jesus reminds us of. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They repeat those two things. These are the types of sacrifices God wants us to give. Sacrifices of praise to Him and sacrifices of service to men. These things, God says, are pleasing to Him. Such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We're told that in Scripture. The writer to the Hebrews has already mentioned that God looks with favor on the actions of His redeemed children. Back in chapter 6, verse 10, we read, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints as you still do." So we're told God is not going to overlook these things that you've done in His name through the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, remember, please, always keep in mind, good works don't merit salvation for you, but they do please the Lord in the same way that a child doing what mom and dad have asked him to do pleases mom and dad. Don't you delight as a father or mother, don't you delight to see your children acting the way they ought to, the way they've been taught, putting away their toys without being asked, not fighting with brothers and sisters, helping with the chores at home, or reading their Bibles on their own? I mean, that's a real delight. When your children reach the point and you discover that they're reading the Scriptures on their own without being told to, that is a real joy in the heart of a mom or a dad. Such sacrifices on your part also please your Heavenly Father, who desires you as His children to imitate Him. And that means worshiping the Lord without being told to. You shouldn't have to be dragged to church. You should want to be in the Lord's house worshiping the Lord. And so when you do, it's pleasing to God. When you desire to be where He is, to worship Him, to serve Him, it's pleasing to God. Witnessing to others about the love of God that you have received through the Lord Jesus Christ, that's pleasing to God. The result's up to Him. Okay, it's not whether or not you yourself as an individual are able at that very moment to see that person profess faith in Christ or not. That result is God's result in His time. What is required of you and what pleases God is that you simply do that, that you simply tell others of your great Savior Jesus Christ, and He will work out the results in His time. I've told you about a couple of folks that witnessed to me over a year before I became a Christian. And I didn't give a positive response at the time that they talked with me, and yet what they did is pleasing to God, and I still remember it because it was beneficial to me. Later on, the Lord brought that back and dealt with my heart and my life through what those folks said a year before. So you don't know that when the result will take place. But God is always pleased when you as a Christian talk to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Showing kindness and generosity toward others in the name of the Lord Jesus. All of these things are what please your Heavenly Father. God desires you to do them. And you as Christians ought to be about offering this sacrifice of praise all the time, even in the hard times. And this sacrifice of serving others, showing your love for them in Christ all the time, also without ceasing. That's pleasing to God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for all of the marvelous blessings that You give us in Jesus. Thank You for this exhortation that we have seen here in Holy Scripture. Thank You for giving these words to us. And Father, now we pray that we might, through faith in Christ, live by them. That You would enable us by Your grace to serve and love and follow Christ all the days of our lives. Please forgive our sins. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.